All right, so like I said, we are finishing with the month of August by entering the book of Exodus here. And Genesis has really been good. Anybody agree with that? Yeah? I think that all those topics that we've been talking about have been really good. I mean, we've been exposed to realities that we face even today, right? I mean, the book of Genesis, way back when, and we're still connecting with things that are happening in our lives. We've talked about family systems and family dynamics, to the reality of unbelief and people that are having a relationship with God, the miracles of overcoming the impossible things among us. We talked a little bit about the hate culture, remember? Remember? And also, the very uncharacteristic response from Joseph, who had an encounter with his brothers, and instead of doing what I would have done, he really stood back and allowed God to bring healing to their family. So, you know, Genesis is just quite an amazing portrait of humanity's condition. So we're blessed to read it. And sometimes it is real and raw. It's just very straight in your face. And that's part of what we read in the beginning of the Bible. Now we enter Exodus, and we'll find more of that there. But the question comes to mind as we continue this saga, and that is, does God really love humanity?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was easy, right? we'll find some more answers as we go through. Now, first, I'd like to bring your attention to how is it that the Israelites end up in Goshen, Egypt, right? At the end of Genesis, we read in chapter 46, verses 33 and 34, that Joseph tells his brothers, "When Pharaoh calls on you and says, 'What is your occupation?' you shall say, 'Your servants have been keepers of livestock from our youth, even until now, both we and our ancestors, in order that you might settle on the land of Goshen. Because all shepherds are abhorrent to the Egyptians." Did you hear that? All shepherds are abhorrent to the Egyptians. I don't know about you, but when I read that, I'm like, what? I mean, this is Joseph speaking to them and saying, "Hey, we have a place here for you. But you are going to be there because you're shepherds. But because you're shepherds, you're going to be abhorrent to the Egyptians. So we need to keep you over here in the delta of the river Nile." Is that love? Is this love? Now, to be sent out to a place out of sight because your trade is abhorrent, does that sound like something a brother would do? Well, I'm not sure that they were feeling the love. You know, it's sort of like if we said that, you know, everybody that comes into Colorado, they should move to Commerce City, right? You know, or something. But as we read the text that follows, you know, we realize that this is a practical matter. For Joseph was shrewd in all his business dealing. He was really on it. And he used what he had saved for 7 years of plenty. You remember that story, right? The 7 years of plenty. He used all that. So to put away and then be able to sell to others, even to the Egyptians. And he not only did that, but Joseph took the Egyptians' livestock. When they had ran out of money and goods, they says, okay, give me your livestock, I'll give you food. And then after that, the next year, we read that Joseph even took them as slaves. They offered themselves, buy us, but we want food. I don't know. Joseph was working on something. On top of that, he says, okay, I'll give you seed so that you can plant, because at this point things are going to be working better in the fields. I'll give you seed, but you're going to have to pay 20% of your yield to the Pharaoh. And some of us complain for tithing 10%. That wasn't funny, was it? All right. Yeah, I understand. We got to pay taxes too, right? So, you know, it's all part of it. The point here is that everybody was even grateful to have a place to live and food to eat. They even offer themselves. Now, as Exodus starts, we were informed of the sons of Israel who came to Egypt. And he lists them out. And the first four is Reuben, Simeon, you remember him? Levi, and Judah. Now, only three of these four were mentioned in the interchange and the encounter with Joseph. Only three. Levi was not mentioned at all. But Reuben, I like to say, call him Reuben, right? Simeon and Judah, they were mentioned there, but Levi, there's no mention of him. Not at all. And note that three out of these four are part of all that drama, but Levi is left out. Now, the whole clan of Israel was about 70 people. And then we hear in the story that Joseph dies. And we're informed that the Israelites become fruitful, right? And prolific, abundant in the land. And they grew exceedingly strong. And the years pass. And there's a new Pharaoh. And I don't think that this Pharaoh liked history, because he wasn't reading the history books. And he didn't know about Joseph, right? He didn't go to the library or something. I don't know. All he knew is that all these shepherds were getting numerous. All these people in that valley, in the delta of Goshen, they were getting numerous. So he devised a strategy to limit their numbers, to oppress them. But the more oppression that came upon the Israelites, the more they flourished. It doesn't seem like it was working for the Pharaoh. And they came to sort of to dread the Israelites. And I quote, "It made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and brick and in every kind of field labor." Sounds like our immigration story. I'm not jabbing, okay? But is that love? Is that love that we're feeling? I don't know. Some of you may remember this song. I think it was from the 80s, from a band called Whitesnake, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Some of you remember. I spend my time waiting on your call. How can I tell you, God? That's my revision. My back's against the wall. I need you by my side to tell me it's all right, because I don't think I can take it anymore. Is this love that I'm feeling? Is this the love that I've been searching for? Is this love, or am I dreaming? It must be love. because it's really got a hold on me. Now, of course, that's a ballad, and that's about, you know, love and this girl and all that stuff. But it was steady in my mind all week. Is this how God loves his people? Oppression? I'm sorry, I had to do that again just to let it out of my head. Hopefully, it would not come again. Now, can you see how intriguing it is? The irony of it all. They are saved from Canaan. They're brought to this place. They're free. They can do their thing. And all of a sudden now, they're being oppressed again. Is that love? Now we know of the story that the Pharaoh orders the midwives to intervene, right? He orders the midwives to kill the baby boys. But the order backfires on them. We see in verse 17, it tells us that the midwives feared God and disobeyed the Pharaoh. What was their excuse? These Hebrew women are super moms giving birth. We can't get to them in time. By the time we get there, the baby's already gone. They've been given birth and they're left. I don't know, but I think that these women can teach us a lot, right? Notice how they handle these orders and how they handle adversity. When there are rules that are cruel, they disobey them. They even lied. Is that a way to be righteous? I don't know about you, but it doesn't sound like righteous to me. Sometimes we have this way of looking at the world. You know, when in doubt, well, obey the law, right? Well, what if the law is unjust? You know, Paul tells us that we are to obey the government. But then we see the midwives seeking a higher law. They were seeking what God wanted for them to do. Even in the shadow of oppression, even when things were not going well for everybody, they said, no, we're going to stand for what is good. We're going to stand for what our God wants us to do. Now, sometimes we use the letter of the law as an excuse not to face the demons of oppression. And I have stories I could share with you forever. But I've seen a lot of things happen here in the U.S. But it is not exclusive to us Americans. You know, businesses taking advantage of those who are disadvantaged because of their status when they come to this place. I lived in Kentucky, and you know what Kentucky is famous for? Other than hillbillies, okay? You know? Tobacco. You know that? Tobacco, right? Well, imagine you coming to Kentucky because you hear that there's work there, and going working in the fields and going working for a week, for another week, for 3 weeks, and you're expecting a paycheck. Guess what happens? All of a sudden, the foreman says, you can go home now. No money. Now that's Kentucky, right? Well, I lived in Georgia. In Georgia, it was construction. In Washington State, construction. In California, you know what happens? Sometimes it's in the hotels. Now, again, I'm not indicting Americans for this. Sometimes it's their own people. that do this. It's not a matter of nationality. It's not a matter of ethnicity. Sometimes that's what we point to just so that we can justify ourselves. But that oppression crosses borders. It happens everywhere. It happens in Africa. It happens in Europe. It happens in Latin America. It happens within. So it says something about us human beings. Oppressive practices. Now, there's good news. I don't want to leave you there. There's good news about this whole thing. Chapter 2 of Exodus says that from the house of Levi, there's a man that marries a Levite woman. And since they're both from the same tribe, I imagine they were cousins. You know, it's like in Puerto Rico. We're all related. And they have what is described, quote unquote, a fine baby. Do you hear that when we're reading? They have a fine baby. This fine baby is rescued from the sentence of death that is about their place. It's rescued from the oppressive regime, which was persecuting all the Hebrews. Is there hope? Is that love? What is it that this boy represents? I don't know about you, but you know the story, right? You know what happens with this boy. But as we asked at the beginning, does God love humanity? And if he does, why is it that God allows circumstances like these to happen among us? Oppression. Things that are not necessarily going according to plan or what we would like to happen. Well, the short answer there is that God is not only a matter of belief, it is not only a matter of the mental exercise that we do of understanding, but God is also in the business of allowing us to experience God in all its mystery. It's mostly about experiencing God. Does God love us? Well, yes. God does. But it's not necessarily what we think it is. Sometimes God allows things to happen so that he can show himself to us. He loves us just the same as he loved the people of Israel and provided a savior for them. We know this little boy whose name is Moses became what? What did he become? A leader. He became a prophet. He became the one chosen to rescue them, right? That's what the book is called, Exodus. They are exiting the oppression by this one boy from the tribe of Levi who wasn't even mentioned in Genesis. That's the priestly tribe. He was going to be the prophet and the one chosen to free them. And you know what? We today are still enjoying the benefit of God's work, not only through Moses, but because God provided also for you and for me. Right? And we know why and how that happened. He provided Jesus. He came himself and freed us from all the oppression of life, from all our experiences that we experience today. Some of them have to do with our health. Some of them have to do with how we interact with society. Some of them have to do with how we live. But I tell you, if it wasn't because we had that hope in Jesus Christ, what would be of us? God has provided us with Christ to do the same. Hundreds of years later, he's still saving his people. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your rescuing. Thank you for coming to us. Thank you for showing us who you are. Thank you for the experiences that we have. Thank you for the Holy Spirit which comes and shows us who we are. And again, we pray, God. We pray that you may not only show us who we are, but who we can be in your name. In Jesus we pray. Amen.